You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations, show number 293. We're getting near that magic number of 300, about 7 years on the air here. And most of that time, we have had a frequent guest by the name of Amy Turner. And she is back once again, representing the Ocean State Theater. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. Always good to be here.
I think this is probably show 40 or 50. I have no idea. It's been a lot.
When do
you.
We go into syndication?
I know. We have to get, yeah, it's been going great. And Amy, you brought along
Damron Russell Armstrong.
Damron. That's me. Damron Russell Armstrong. It wasn't that hard, was it?
No, it was not. No,
it was not. But I was a little nervous to say the damn part. But there you go. So it's Damron. But we're going to call you D.
Great.
And you are familiar to any audience that just came back from seeing Rent at Ocean State Theater, which was great, great presentation. You played Tom Collins in that one, correct?
Yes, I did. It was a lot of fun.
And you're going to be in this new production, which opens Wednesday, called Race. Mm. And Amy, we're pretty excited about this. This is something I know nothing about. I know nothing about the author. I know nothing about, like, the Neil Simon show, Fools, I knew a little bit about it. But this one is all new to me, so I'm going to be very interested to see it.
Yeah, well, hopefully lots of people are going to be really interested to see it. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I think sometimes audiences forget that a great theater in their community, in the state, and there's a lot of them out there, that, you know, maybe take a chance and see a show that you are unfamiliar with. I will say, though, that you also have the opportunity to research so many of these shows, whereas you didn't used to be able to do that. So go online and look up David Mamet and look up what the show is about, because it is a very interesting and challenging piece. I think that it's kind of a throwback to some of those great shows like a Tennessee Williams or that kind of a thing. But David Mamet is a very prolific contemporary author. He's won the Pulitzer Prize. He's won a Tony Award. He's written a lot of films, directed some of them himself. He does have a body of work. And he's really known for having a very specific and direct way of writing for his characters. We've talked a little bit in rehearsal. I sort of think that anybody who's familiar with, like, The West Wing or some of those really fast-paced law shows, mm-hmm. that it kind of is that same contemporary way of speaking, where you kind of just, you're smart people talking about smart things in a smart way, and it kind of just gets right to the heart of it.
Excellent. And Dee, when your involvement in this, were you familiar with the play before you got the part?
Yes, I was, and very familiar with David Mamet. A lot of his plays that have been done on Broadway, a lot of the cast members, like coming from Rent into Race, were musical theater stars. Patti LuPone, who was famous for Evita and Mama Rose, has often gone from doing a musical into a David Mamet play. Hmm. So I was very familiar with him going into this. And as Amy was saying, there were so many times in rehearsals where we would liken a moment to, oh, this is like on Law and Order, or this is like in CSI when they did this or that. Mm-hmm. So it's very intriguing the way that he writes as an actor, to be able to get up there and bring a story to life without a lot of glitz and glamour or high kicks and jazz hands.
Okay, no high kicks and jazz hands.
But, not in this one.
Today's music is going to be a little bit different, and Amy, I'm going to let you explain this. There is no music from the show or with the show. So today for our show, we're going to be playing some hint music, I like to call it. In other words, these are hints of what the show is kind of like through a musical selection that you've made. And the first one is going to be, as we just mentioned, Law and Order.
Yeah, it's the theme song to Law and Order, because although it's titled Race, and it certainly deals with race as an issue, I think at its true heart, it's just a legal drama. And I think everybody understands that in this culture through Law and Order, right?
Here we go. Right now, we've got everybody in the Law and Order mood, and that's a very recognizable theme song, and that gives you a first musical hint on our little journey here. We'll talk more about the show in a moment, but I want to get to Dee and find out a little bit about you. Where are you from?
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. I now live in New York City.
Wow.
Did theater most of my life throughout high school, and then moved to New York for schooling. And then back to Kansas City, mostly to get a practical education in mm-hmm. theater. So many really great theaters in Kansas City. So it was a great starting ground for mm-hmm. my career. And now back in New York City for 10 plus years and traveling the country, which is why I'm here.
Right, traveling the country doing shows,
yes.
Not selling toothbrushes.
But well, sometimes in between gigs.
As most actors sometimes have to do. But that's great. I know that when we had our last Conducting Conversations Live at the theater, which we do the first Saturday of a new show, and we'll be doing it for Race next Saturday afternoon after the matinee performance, I have the opportunity to get on stage, meet the actors, and take questions from the audience. And last time we talked about that formal education of theater, and yes. there was a question from the audience about they had a daughter, I believe, that was interested in going to theater. And,
right.
and it was interesting to hear the responses from some that said, oh, it's the greatest thing ever, to others, it's not necessary.
Definitely. Because people have a different way of learning things. I think it's always amazing when you hear about such and such person was discovered at a mall and had never acted before, but were perfectly the type that the director or writer mm-hmm. saw when they wrote or wanted to direct a particular script. So with that, it's also people come at things from different roads.
Sure.
So
sure.
sometimes a formal education, some people are very analytical, and so that's the road that they want to take. And then other people want to go to a more conservatory where it's just about learning to sing or learning to dance, and then bam, out into the sure. world.
So, yeah, and learning is the same way. Some people learn by seeing it written down, others learn by hearing it.
Exactly.
So there you go. Amy, as far as the show is concerned, this is your second play of the season, Fools being the first, and then Rent, as we talked about, the musical, and now another play. And does this bring any opportunities or Anything different than a musical brings to you as far as a theater company is concerned?
I think it does. It brings a focus and it brings diversity. When I picked the first, our little inaugural mini season here, it really was really with the focus on the author. Mm-hmm. And so to sort of dismiss great authors that are known for their plays seemed wrong. And I think that Fools is a Neil Simon comedy. That's going to bring in a certain group of people. Rent, a rock opera, a certain group of people, maybe hopefully a new audience that that the Fools audience could build into that. Now this legal drama, I think it's a more mature piece. It's going to bring in hopefully a different group of people. And then, of course, we end our season with The King and I. So it really is to say that we are willing to have something for everyone is what I would say. From a technical perspective, it's interesting because I was just having this conversation that you don't have to teach the music because there is none. You don't have to teach the choreography because there is none. But what you do have to replace that with is a much deeper dig into the material, because that is actually where the jazz hands come from, and the glitz and the glamour is that excitement of bringing out a word. So musicals tend to be really about sort of the overall experience, whereas a play tends to be more about the details of that experience, if that makes
Absolutely.
Any sense.
Makes a lot of sense. And it's certainly interesting when we were on the stage, and when you come out and you normally do your welcome and a couple of announcements, you always ask how many people are here for the first time. Mm. And I noticed that I was fortunate enough to see Rent 5 times, by the way. And for each audience that was asked, it was always a majority of the hands were saying this is their first trip to the Ocean State Theater.
Yeah, and that's what's really exciting about what's happening, that it's been a Herculean task, is that the right phrase, building a theater, transforming this, getting a new theater, although we're not a new theater company, but literally getting this new theater up and getting people to know that there's this theater. And so we look at that as an amazing sign that we really are getting new people through the doors. And that's where the growth will come from.
All right. Well, we're about to give the audience hint number 2. Now, this could be a big hint, because the title of this piece is I'm an Innocent Man.
Well, is there really anybody who is charged with a crime that doesn't profess that they are not innocent?
I suppose that's true.
And I think that's ultimately the question, both for the public to choose whether they believe that innocence or not. But there's a different criteria for a jury to agree with that person charged.
Some people stay far away from the door. There's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by. Some people live with a fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool. They will not listen to anyone, so nobody tells them a lie. I know you're only pretending yourself. I know you're thinking of somebody else. Someone who hurt you, but I'm not a making up for the love you've been denying you could ever feel. I'm not above doing anything to restore your faith if I can. Some people see through the eyes of the old before they ever get a look at the young. I'm only willing to hear you cry because I am an innocent man. I am an innocent man. Oh, yes, I am an innocent man. That's your decision, but I'm not below anybody I know. There's a chance of resurrecting a love. I'm not above going back to the start to find out where the heartache began. Some people hope for a miracle cure. Some people just accept the world as it is. But I'm not willing to lay down and die because I am an innocent man.
Amy, I know that when you produce shows for a long period of time, like 10, 12, 13, 14 performances, whatever there's going to be of this, there's an opportunity to have some shows filled up and others not so full.
Mm.
So we want to make sure that people know how to get tickets and go online as soon as they can and get the tickets. You can even select the seats you want to be in.
You can.
Or you can walk up to the box office and see Vinny and say, Mike sent me, and get a 50% discount. That might not work, but you could
try.
You could try.
Vinny's a nice guy, you know?
Let's tell people the website, phone number, and address.
Yep, oceanstatetheater.org, O-R-G. As you said, you can go right on there, pick your date, pick your time, pick your seat, print out your ticket, and you are all set. Come early, have a drink at the bar, and go right in. That would be my plan.
That's a good plan.
Or you can call the box office, 401-921-6800, or visit us actually at 1245 Jefferson Boulevard, and you can,
just
pick
walk
out
right
your
up and see
walk
Vinny.
Walk right in.
There's
yep.
Vinny.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. And it's a great, great place to see a production, and we can't stress that enough. It's, we've talked about this on other shows, the past few shows we've done, but here's a building that was not used for this purpose, that Amy and Joel and a bunch of other people sat down and said, okay, let's make the perfect theater, and did. There's not a bad seat in the house, and it doesn't make any difference where you sit. It's great. So take advantage of that and get out to the Ocean State Theater and see Dee in this production of Race.
I always think that it's important to let people know that the show plays during the week, so it's a great midweek outing if you're the person that wants to beat the crowd from a Friday or Saturday night, then certainly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, come on down and see the show.
All right. Check the schedule. It's not every Tuesday, but there will be a Tuesday performance, right? Am I correct?
Actually, no. This Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday through Sunday.
So opening night is this coming Wednesday.
Yes.
And then there'll be a preview on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yep, a preview on Wednesday. There's two shows on Thursday, so there's also a matinee, to Dee's point. Then you really have your whole day, your whole evening available to you. And then Saturday and Sunday matinees as well.
Excellent. And so, Dee, take Tuesday off.
I'll do that.
By the way, you don't have to come in on Tuesday.
It'll just be me doing a one-man show.
Well,
in the dark.
No, this Tuesday we'll be rehearsing. So,
yes.
Yeah. But, next Tuesday. Take it easy, honey.
All right. Let's sneak one more piece of hint music in before we take the break. What is this one?
This is from, it's an opera. It's a very famous piece of music. La Mamma Mia, is that pronounced correctly?
I
think
I'm leaving that with you.
But people, I think, are very familiar with it. It was used to great purpose in the movie Philadelphia, which of course is about discrimination,
mm-hmm.
and how trials can affect the truth and whatnot. So that's your next hint.
We will listen to at least a portion of that and then take a short break and be back with more of the Ocean State Theater Company. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's Amy Turner, and she has brought along with her Damron Russell Armstrong, who playing in the play Race, and he was playing the part of Tom Collins in Rent, so he's staying here in beautiful downtown Rhode Island for a little over a month, I guess, now. You've got no work here between two shows. That's pretty neat.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Rhode Island, for having me over. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great to have you with us. And Amy, are there other cast members that are coming from the last show or not? Or are they?
Yes, absolutely. So Christopher Swan, it opened Theater by the Sea when we opened that, and he played Hysterium. If anybody remembers, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, you're talking about, like 7 years ago.
Years ago. And then he came back, and he also performed in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels at Theater by the Sea for us. Mm-hmm. He's an actor I've worked with back in Florida, and just really talented. So he plays the lead attorney, if you will. The white attorney, as it were, Damron, plays the black attorney. They're partners in a boutique firm.
Is that typecasting?
I know. It's interesting.
It's an acting stretch.
Because you certainly can't have a progressive casting when it is about racial profiling. Sean McGurk, this is going to be crazy. A lot of people know him. He lives here in Rhode Island. He was in our production of Hairspray as the kooky father.
Oh, yeah.
But he is very different in this. He is actually the quote-unquote wealthy white executive who is accused of raping a black woman. So that's going to be fun for anybody that knows him or remembers Hairspray, for sure. And then a young lady, Nikisha Daniels, plays the legal assistant, a young African-American actress. This is her first time working for us. She came to our local audition, although she is not from Rhode Island. And it is interesting. And it is important that you do find, I think in this day and age, at least for us, we really do try and do non-traditional casting, blindfold casting, whatever you want to call that, because mm-hmm. so often it really is unimportant, but not in a play called Race.
Right. There you go. And one of the things to be stressed is, if you're just listening and not familiar with the Ocean State Theater Company, it's a professional theater. We're not talking about nothing wrong with community theater, but this is professional cast. And they do come from all over. Some come as far away as Kansas City. I can't believe anyone actually lived in Kansas City. But
and you'd be surprised how many professional theaters there are in Kansas City. So I come from good stock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it. Kansas City stock.
That's right. Get it?
The stockyards of Kansas City. All right. We're going to go to another piece of music that this one's going to be a little bit different for our audience. Tell us about Folsom.
Well, Folsom Prison Blues, to me, it is, if I think about a song that has anything to do with judgment or incarceration, I have to say, I think of Johnny Carson.
Or Johnny Cash.
I'm Johnny Cash. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I said Johnny Carson. That would be alimony, right? No. see how crazy we get?
A little different thing.
Well, okay, so there, now we're going to tie this up together. So you have celebrity and that fear. I mean, I think that people think they can do a lot of things until the reality comes to them, and then the thought of actually spending any length of time or the rest of their life in prison really is kind of a shocking fear, at least for me anyway. I can't even imagine that. So I think that truthful outcome, that possible outcome, is part of the story.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the San Antonio. when I was just a baby. My mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tours do. Well, if they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Good old Johnny Carson there on the electric guitar.
Thank you, Mike.
And that's great, actually. Johnny Cash, the man in black. Black is appropriate for some of this conversation because it's certainly not a comedy. It's a little bit dark. And also, I guess, same question I had for Rent when, Dee, I posed, I think you were one of the people that answered the question during the talk back session about age of people that want to see this production. Do you feel there's any age that's inappropriate, or is this, I know it's suggested for mature audiences, and that's why I asked the question.
I definitely think that certainly as parents are concerned about their children, they have a sense of what their children have seen on television and what words are appropriate for them. So with that, I would certainly research the script or even call the box office and say, point blank, what words are used in the show and what situations are talked about, and then discuss, discuss whether or not that would be appropriate for their children, because we are talking about the subject of rape. And so do we go into detail about that? That would be something that they should be concerned about.
Now, your character specifically is defending this man, and you are the you're playing the part of a black man as the defense attorney, and your client is white.
Correct.
And he's charged with raping a black woman. Now, what do you find in real life that you can relate to this role? In other words, do you find yourself ever in this situation, trying to defend one race against the other?
Well, I think everybody has been in a situation where we don't have all the facts.
Sure.
Living in a media feeding frenzy world in which we live in, we often get, you know, bites of what someone else's opinion of a situation is, and that is given as the facts or news. Certainly as Henry Brown, the character that I play, he's more analytical than that. What he's searching for is something about the situation that can be controlled. And control only comes with information. Mm-hmm. So that's what you see him do throughout the course of this play. Try to get all of the information. So many times that you see on these law dramas, the prosecution throws something that somehow the client did not tell his lawyer. Right. And so they're all dumbfounded and shocked, right. And he ends up going to jail. So he's certainly, so that's what my character tries to do throughout the play. And certainly on a personal level, I'm old enough to have lived through the O.J. Simpson trials and the media circus that was surrounded with that, and trying to pick out what was true, what was facts, and what was just someone's idea of what the case was about, or fact versus fiction,
right.
Basically. And certainly the racial issue was a part of that. And even to this day, you have a lot of African Americans that came from the seat of so many times throughout history, blacks were discriminated against within the legal system and were sent to jail. And after that, because of DNA and what have you, have
found
been
innocent.
have been exonerated of those crimes.
And the converse is true, too. I think that we'd be remiss not to accept in history that there was a period of time in our society where a white man would be presumed innocent regardless of the facts of the case, for sure.
Yes.
Right.
Unfortunately. You know, and I think that getting back to the information that Dee was talking about, we have spoken in rehearsal about what is the definition of race. Mm-hmm. Well, Mamet's a pretty smart author, and clearly it has to do with background, ethnicity, prejudice. That's race. But race is also who gets to the finish line first. And this really is a play that is a snowball rolling downhill. And I think that's kind of a brilliant, putting this in a legal setting is kind of a brilliant way of having a race towards who can have the right story, who can have the true facts, who can stay ahead of this story so it doesn't spin out of control, is an interesting parallel.
And just like the Law and Orders and your CSI, those shows have to be done in an hour. So we have 90 minutes to come up with all the information that we can gather to determine whether or not we're going to take the case, and if we can convincingly show that this man is innocent of the crimes that he has been accused of.
Well, sounds very thought-provoking and challenging, and as I said before, can't wait. We have chance for one more piece of hint music before we take the break, and this one's rather long, so we're just going to listen to a small portion of it. It's called We Won't Get Fooled.
Yeah, it's by The Who, and it is one of the CSI theme songs.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, And we are sitting with Ocean State Theater. And one of the things we have discussed in the past, Amy, is some of the productions that you've been involved with at, in the old days, back at Theater by the Sea, Sound of Music and Hello Dolly, and all had some pretty lavish sets. And I think that in seeing the productions this year at the new theater, Fools, the opening comedy, had a great set with all kinds of moving parts and houses and buildings and oh my. And then when we get to Rent, when you first walk in and you see Rent, you think, well, that's kind of the bare necessities, but it worked great. And a lot of people that I was at the theater with said the set was just tremendous. And this comes to no surprise from your off-air comment you made a couple minutes ago that, guess what, these are professional set designers. That's why.
Well, I have to give a huge shout-out to Kimberly Powers, because you mentioned Sound of Music and Hello Dolly, which happened to be two of the shows. I think she designed four shows in all of our time at Theater by the Sea, and those two that you just mentioned were her design. We were very fortunate that she is our resident props mistress, which means she designs and builds and buys all of the props, but we also hired her to help us in this first season. So she designed Fools, she designed Rent, she designed Race. She will not design The King and I, a little flash forward to that. But so I have to tell you that she's really, really talented set designer. And we take, OSTC takes every single show and does our best to make that show in that space with that cast and this director the perfect show. And that includes starting at the very beginning with a conversation that the director and the set designer have, in this case, myself and Kim, of, you know, how can we transform the space and how can we tell the story? That's where we start our conversations.
It's just been great. Now, Dee, I know that in Rent, I haven't seen Race yet, but in Rent, the staging that was there or the set was part of what helped you act. I mean, you related to it, you climbed in and out of
it. Definitely.
Is that something unusual for you, or is that pretty much the norm in professional theater?
It's pretty much the norm in professional theater. So many people think it's the actors that get out there and they act and they sing and that's how the story is told. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we often do open book readings where it's just us, a stand and the script, and it's the language that
right.
you're trying to get to the forefront, which is very important. But in a professional production, there's so many other intricate parts that make for the full experience of the art for the audience and the artist that you mm-hmm. see on stage. Certainly in Rent, we had, I think I counted 11 or 12 steps that led up to scaffolding that we would walk around. And of course, in rehearsals, you're just kind of, okay, it's in my head. But it also affects the way that you're breathing while you're trying to sing.
Sure.
I mean, it's all very, very important. So to have a professional staff is amazing. And that goes not only for the sets, but the lighting that sets the mood for you. These are all things that, as an actor, add to what you do on stage.
As well as the sound, which was spectacular for Rent. And that was the kind of production that calls for a lot of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be so much the case for Race, though.
No, but I have to give a shout out and thank you for saying that we built this great theater, because I'm very proud of it. We did not use amplification vocally for Fools. Everybody heard every word, you know, definitely Rent. We actively made it sound like a rock show. It wasn't a typical musical theater mix, and I thought we kind of blew the roof off the place.
Mm-hmm.
We will go back to an unmiked environment, but the acoustics are incredible in this space. And then King and I will go back to very classic amplification with the orchestra, of course, for King and I and the actors on stage. But
well, there's definitely a difference of having to be heard over an orchestra, which you had,
yes,
you know, definitely in Rent, and you'll have in King and I, to just the stage play with, you know, making sure that everyone is able to hear what's going on. Great. Let's get to one more piece of music before we kind of wrap this thing up. And this is Unfinished Something or Other. Oh, Unfinished Symphony.
Yes.
All right.
It's a Schubert piece. Is that what I brought?
That's what you brought. So we'll listen to a little Schubert right now.
Great.
had a lot to talk about in this show, probably a little more conversation than most shows we've had in the past, but we could go on and on and on, but we have to wrap it up. Dee, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me over.
You were great in Rent. I can't wait to see you in Race. You have a whole career based on four-letter plays with the letter R.
Riot, starring Dameron.
So Rent was spectacular. And Race will be opening this Wednesday. So make sure you get tickets. And Amy, how can people do that?
Go on the website, oceanstatetheater.org, O-R-G, or call the box office, 921-6800. Of course, it's 401-921-6800.
All right. I hope to see you all there. Amy, thanks so much for coming in. It's always great to see you and picking your brain about all these things that you have tremendous knowledge about. And I must say publicly that what a great director, and a lot of things that you've done have made a lot of people very, very happy. So it's great to have you here.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
We'll see you all at Race opening Wednesday and just running for a couple weeks. So get your tickets, and then we'll see you next Sunday night on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.